Last year, we saw some horrific failings in Australia's childcare system. Serious issues throughout the industry exposed gaps in regulations, which left some children the victims of abuse by staff. The government's worked to put better systems in place. That part of that is a national register for workers. But maybe you're still finding drop-off time a bit harder than you used to. The reality is we can't protect our kids from the world forever, but we can do everything in our power to be their safe person and check in when something might be wrong. There are ways to create opportunities for them to open up to you. Well, Dr. Rachel Sharman is a senior lecturer in psychology at the University of the Sunshine Coast. She specialises in child and adolescent development, and she's with me now. Rachel, thanks for joining me.
No worries at all.
So we're talking about really young kids here, kids in daycare from babies up to around 4 years. If we want to create a relationship with our kids where they feel comfortable disclosing things to us, where do we start?
So look, I think the first thing is being open to those disclosures. So having, you know, asking questions, having conversations, opening up that possibility that they can tell you things. So, you know, having a conversation around the dinner table or at bedtime before bed, even, you know, on the way home from daycare in the car, these are all really good spaces to just, you know, what happened today? How was it? Did anything bad happen? Did anything good happen? And just sort of getting kids used to just telling you stuff without fear of you, you know, reacting in a way that they're going to find a little bit concerning.
So the reacting is also a big part of this.
Look, it really is. So, I mean, I can't sort of emphasise this enough. Kids really do sort of take their lead from their parents. There's a bit of, you know, emotional contagion that can happen here. So if they tell you something bad happens and, you know, you perhaps, you know, have a reaction to that, a bit of an emotional reaction, even just raising your voice and, what? How did that happen? Oh, my God. Yeah. If you do that sort of stuff, the kids will sort of bounce off on that and they'll wonder if they did the right thing. You know, are they in trouble? I know that sounds a little bit unbelievable from a parental point of view or even an adult point of view, but the second an adult sort of has a bit of a reaction that a child finds perhaps confusing, they will often assume that they are the one who has caused that and they are at fault, and therefore they are at fault for telling you this. So it is really important that people do work their hardest to moderate their reactions and just come at these conversations with a, you know, just a genuine sort of curiosity about how the day went.
What if something bad actually did happen?
Yeah, so look, if children disclose something that's really quite alarming, the first thing to do is to really try and hold on to your emotion about that, okay? So again, we don't want to put the child off by telling you more by having a reaction that the child might find concerning or scary. So it really is just following up with some, you know, sort of follow-up questions about what really did happen, what went on there, and, you know, asking the questions in a, again, just that genuinely sort of curious fashion. Without sort of getting too emotional or potentially getting too angry. And look, don't forget, sometimes kids will tell you something that originally sounds really, really terrible, but in fact, when you unpack it, it's really quite boring. So, you know, so yeah, kids have a way of using language that might not be quite what parents assume the meaning to be.
Yeah, fair enough. Also, we are talking, again, we're talking about quite young kids in this conversation, kids at daycare under four. Sometimes they don't have the language to tell you what's happening. Are there other ways you can be looking out for just what to be concerned about?
Yeah, look, absolutely. In fact, children all the way up to sort of upper primary, so all the way up to about 12, you know, they're still developing their verbal skills, their articulation abilities, all that kind of stuff. And as we've mentioned, sort of that conversational sort of behaviour and ability as well. So kids right up to that sort of 12-year-old age tend to sometimes manifest stress physically, yeah? So really common in younger kids. And I mean, a lot of parents would be familiar with kids who perhaps start wetting the bed again and, you know, weird stuff when things are stressful, you know, if you're moving house or if something's going on at the home. So those are all the signs still to look out for. It's that physical manifestation of stress. So they could be complaining of a sore tummy. They could be constantly complaining that they don't want to go. you know, giving you sort of physical signs and signals and bodily functions all going awry, you know, all of a sudden the toilet trained kid isn't toilet trained anymore, all that sort of stuff. It's not necessarily a sign that something sinister is going on, because as I said, all stress will do this to kids, and just something like moving to a new daycare room could be stressful for some children. So we don't want to sort of overinterpret these sorts of things, but definitely you want to follow up if a child is manifesting physical signs of stress.
What sort of follow-up would you recommend there?
So I think it's really useful to try and talk to the people around the kids. You know, is there an obvious reason? You know, have they just moved rooms and it's a new teacher and it's a new group, and maybe you've got one of those little cautious sort of slow to warm up babies or slow to warm up toddlers that find change really difficult. So it's about knowing your own child. But likewise, if you've normally got a really sort of happy extroverted kid who doesn't actually, you know, there's nothing really going on, and all of a sudden they're manifesting these signs, it's that kind of all of a sudden with no apparent reason that I think is worth following up with people.
You're listening to Life Matters here on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and I'm talking to Dr. Rachel Sharman about how to foster trust with your kids so that if they're worried about something or if something is going wrong, that they know you're a safe person to come and talk to. Rachel, how do we teach kids about what is acceptable behaviour and what when something that's happening to them is wrong?
Yeah, so we often talk to kids about sort of feelings. Did this give you a bad feeling? So like I said before, kids tend to manifest these things physically. So they might talk about feeling sick in the gut, or they, you know, something made them feel sort of sad or upset. So talking about feelings is really important. And, you know, did something happen today that made you feel bad? That's a really good sort of conversation starter if people are concerned. I know some parents even just before bedtime, sort of after the book's been read, say something along the lines of, tell me one good thing that happened today and one not so good thing that happened today, or one bad thing. And again, it's opening up that sort of conversation about what might be going on for the child.
How do you lay the groundwork with kids without going in too strong and making them maybe fear that adults might do inappropriate things, or avoiding a kid becoming fixated on sort of the worst case scenario?
Yeah, look, and I think daycare centres, most really good quality daycare centres and kindies are good about this. You'll find pretty quickly that your child will start to talk about private parts, for example. So a lot of the daycares and kindies are really across this. They teach this themselves, okay? So, yeah, teaching your kids about private parts, and they're called private for a reason. You know, they're there for the toilet and something, you know, get basic. You've got to get basic with a two-year-old. This is what our private parts are for. That's actually something you can start very, very early on, and that, yeah, we keep them under clothes unless we're going to the toilet or having a shower and that kind of thing. These are conversations that fortunately a lot of daycares and kindies have, and these are conversations that you can continue at home as well.
I don't want to get too heavy, but the reality is that the reason we're having this conversation is because bad things have happened to children. There is mandatory disclosure laws that even apply to parents.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So in Queensland, and we do need to remember this is state-based, okay, but some people might have even noticed the ads about this on television. So in Queensland, it is now mandatory for any person over the age of 18 years who reasonably suspects that a child has been sexually abused or is being sexually abused to report that directly to police, unless they have what's known as a reasonable excuse. And I'll let, you know, people go to the website and get lost in all that sort of stuff. But yeah, as a sort of a prima facie, as a general kind of, as a general first port of call, every adult in Queensland is now expected to report directly to police if they have any suspicions that a child is being sexually abused.
When these kind of conversations come up, it can make you question whether you should send your kid to daycare at all, but there are so many benefits from early childhood education that I think kind of bear repeating in this environment, Rachel.
Yeah, look, absolutely. So first of all, you know, this is a reminder that we are, of course, talking about high quality early childcare education. There is a really wide spectrum out there, which is hugely problematic. And really, I think that it's great that we've kicked off a conversation potentially with regulators and governments, like who's watching the watchers here? You know, what is going on? Why do we have such low care or problematic childcare centres being allowed to operate and people not being informed? So that's one issue. But in terms terms of our high-quality childcare education centres, they really give children the opportunity to socialise. I mentioned previously, we don't live in an environment where kids grow up with five other siblings their age. You know, there's usually one or two children in most households now, with a few years apart. So that opportunity for kids to socialise with same-age peers is so important for their development. And of course, a good quality, you know, childcare centre with a genuine early education approach will be doing just that. They will be providing, you know, stimulating early education for your child, which is quite helpful.
Rachel, thank you so much for sharing your insights.
Thank you.
Dr. Rachel Sharman is a senior lecturer in psychology at the University of the Sunshine Coast.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.